It's time for Mind Your Business on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network to present the weekly business radio show produced by the award-winning marketing firm Bottom Line Marketing Group, BLMG, sharing business and marketing strategies to make you and your business successful. Now, here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis.
Yes, thank you for joining me here on another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 710 WOR and the powerful iHeart Radio Network. Tonight's show is all about the future of the real estate industry. The interest rates have gone up. There's a lot of volatility. And we turn to four. It's really, how many experts do we have over here? It's really three, but one is going to be a co-host tonight, and that's Shia Rubenstein. Who's coming up with he's run the JCon conferences a number of years. There's one coming up very soon. She is going to be talking about that during tonight's show. And we're also joined by Shimon Isakovich, the Chief Lending Officer and Executive at Cross River Bank, and Morris Batesh, Senior Managing Director at Meridian Capital Group. But just a little bit more of the intro of tonight's show. Special thank you to the great listenership. We are, again, in the top 10 in New York AM radio, according to the Nielsen ratings. We just came in number 4. That is a big deal. And that's because you've come to expect great business content week in and week out. By the way, when you go to our platform, mybradio.com, that's where you can access every past guest over... Actually, it's over 750 guests, including Steven Sadoff, the former CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue, Joe Hart, the president and CEO of Dale Carnegie, John Sculley, the former CEO of Apple and Pepsi, and so many other great guests. They're all available by going to mybradio.com, mybradio.com, and on our YouTube channel. On YouTube, we're at 710WR Mind Your Business. You can access all the video episodes. Tonight's being recorded as well. And when you subscribe, you're automatically notified when an episode goes live. Just a special shout out to the great team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group, who plays a critical role in the development of this show week in and week out. Sruli, Michal, Betzalel, Brocha, Michael, Miriam Nachi, and so many others that worked so hard behind the scenes, especially Michal, who went above and beyond for tonight's show and made it happen. Just that, and that's what we do here at Bottom Line. Also, special thank you to Darren and Peter at 710 WOR, and a special thank you to all those who stopped me anywhere and everywhere. Let's get to tonight's show. Tonight's show, the future of the real estate industry. We're now here in mid-2022. We're going to try to forecast. Now, of course, as always, contact your local professional advisor for any specific advice that you're about to embark. But I'm joined here, co-hosted by a good friend, Shia Rubenstein, who has his upcoming JCon conferences, and invited along Shimon Isakovich from Cross River and Morris Batesh from Meridian Capital. Shia, thank you for joining me here. And to the great guests, take it away.
Good evening, Yitzhak. Wow, what an introduction.
Thank you. See, the guys deserve it.
Wow, that's fantastic. It's great to be back. I have been interviewed before, so
that's
thank
right.
you for having me once more.
Of course.
And I'm extremely excited because, as you mentioned, we're
the
going to
upcoming conference around the corner.
Yeah, we have this amazing upcoming conference, which will take place on July 12th, which we'll discuss later.
But Tuesday, right? Tuesday?
It's Tuesday, July 12th at the Diker Beach Golf Course in Brooklyn by the Verrazano Bridge.
Okay.
And I'm extremely excited about it. We have an amazing lineup. But in order to give you a little sample and for the radio show to kind of cover what's happening in the industry, mm-hmm. I brought two dear friends and the best that the industry has to offer. And I'd love to pick their brain in terms of, you know, what's happening and what
Go
we
ahead.
Can expect.
Go ahead.
So, should I turn it back to you or
no,
should I
all
start?
Yours. Let's go through.
Okay, so I guess let's reach out to Morris. First of all, good evening and welcome to the program.
Good evening. thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here with all of you. And I look forward to sharing some insight and learning from each of you here.
Thank you so much. So, first of all, I know your time and schedule is extremely packed, so I really appreciate you taking the opportunity to join us. So, I guess, can you give us a little bit of a state of the union with respect to the real estate space? You know, we see some volatility in terms of interest rates rising and Meridian being one of the leaders, you know, in the commercial space. I'd love to hear your overview before we go into some detail.
Sure. Just for the listening group out there, I'll give a quick overview on Meridian and who we are. Meridian has been in business for over 30 years. We're headquartered in New York City. We're the largest and most active commercial mortgage brokerage company in the United States. In addition to commercial mortgage brokerage services, we also provide investment sales services and retail leasing. So we cover the whole market. New York City is our home market, but we operate nationally. In the last 12 months, we've closed over $60 billion in financings, over 4,000 transactions. So we are number one in the country in terms of number of transactions, which means we're closing more loans than anyone else, which gives us a unique insight. With respect to, you know, what we're seeing in the markets today, obviously there's been a very fast and rapid change in interest rates. And as many of your listeners probably know, valuations of real estate, returns in real estate are very much tied to the debt markets. You know, on a given $10 million deal, a $10 million purchase rather, there's likely $7 million in mortgage financing on it. So the majority of the deal's returns are driven by the efficiency of the debt, which makes it so important. When the markets move quick, like they have, there's usually a bit of a period of workout, for lack of a better term, where, you know, lenders, borrowers, buyers, and sellers are all trying to figure out what's really happening and how to react to it. When it happens quickly, not everybody reacts as quickly. So what we're seeing in the market now is there's a big gap between borrowers and lenders and between buyers and sellers. Lenders, you know, requiring certain returns, given their cost of capital's increase, borrowers not necessarily willing to pay those higher interest rates and looking for alternative and creative solutions to work around it. And the same goes with buyers and sellers. Buyers looking to pay lower prices to generate higher returns commensurate with the higher cost of capital, and sellers not necessarily willing to drop their prices 5-10% or more just because interest rates changed over a 6-week period. So some of these sellers have owned properties for 20 or 30 years, and they may want to hang on another 6 months and see what happens. So right now it's sort of the beginning periods of this quick and rapid change. And all of the market participants are really trying to figure out what it means in the short term, in the medium term, and the long term, and how they should react accordingly.
And do you forecast interest rates continuously rising because of inflation and trying to, you know, catch up in the near future?
We don't provide interest rate forecasts at Meridian Capital. I'm curious what Shimon thinks. I have my own personal opinions. I believe that interest rates could very likely go up. And what's important for the viewers to understand is there's a big difference between, you know, the 5- and 10-year treasury, which is a key driver, versus the Fed funds and SOFR rate. The Fed funds rate, which impacts the SOFR rate, is clearly going to rise further. The Fed has indicated that. How much further and for how long is going to be determined by the markets, probably. But the Fed has indicated that they're going to raise, they've raised rates this month 75 basis points, and they've indicated that they're going to raise rates again next month. Counterintuitively, the 10-year treasury dropped about 20 basis points today. So those two rates have a relationship to each other, but it's not a direct relationship. The 10-year rate more likely reflects the market's overlook for the economy and interest rates over a much longer period than the Fed funds rate is. So I think there's a general sense in the market that rates can't sustain themselves at a high coupon for too long. But in the, you know, next 6, 12, 18 months, they're definitely going to go higher. But over a 5- to 10-year period, I think everyone thinks they'll stabilize, you know, at more normal levels.
So now turning to you, Shimon, so you're the bank as well and the bank itself. So the question is, where do you see the short-term concern or the short-term, you know, real estate market? Are people holding back? Are prices dropping? Or people are just absorbing because it has been so low for so long and now they're just they're still okay with it? What do you see happening in the real estate transaction space now?
So Similar to Morris, let me first begin by giving just a brief background on myself and Cross River. So for those of you that that have not heard of Cross River, we are a relatively small bank. We're just coming up on our 14th anniversary. We started out in the height of a different crisis in 2008. So I think what sets us apart probably from some of the other banks and lenders that are, you know, in the industry and in the space is that we actually learned how to adapt to challenges real time on the fly. And again, built the bank around these challenges. I don't like to look at them as challenges. I look at them as opportunities. And I think that the opportunities that have presented themselves to us, you know, really since the beginning have been, you know, what has enabled us to get to where we are today as a bank, where, you know, our humble beginnings with, you know, approximately $10 million in capital to $10 billion in size today with, you know, from 7 employees to almost 900 employees, including almost 200 internationally in Israel. So, you know, I think that this market, no different than, you know, when you know, COVID, you know, was an challenge. And again, as I said before, an opportunity. For us, it's a matter of identifying the opportunity and maneuvering or pivoting to use the opportunity to advance and grow. And again, as I said, I think we've done that successfully over our short 14-year lifespan. And I think that this environment that we're in is a similar, while it has its own challenges, without a doubt, I think it will provide opportunity for us. And as I said, for those of you that don't know us, we'll use COVID as an example where, you know, many banks either immediately froze or shut down lending or, you know, or just took a pause. We took that as an opportunity to jump into the market, offer assistance by leveraging our SBA platform, by leveraging our technology, and we were able to help thousands and thousands of you know, businesses and hundreds of thousands of employees to retain their jobs by you know, being, you know, the top lenders within, you know, within the country. So again, I think it all points to opportunity and how we react to, you know, to the time that we're in.
Yeah. Now, watch good. We're going to go to a short commercial break, but before I do, Shia, what is the website where people can go and get information and all the details about the upcoming JCon Real Estate Conference?
And thank you for asking. There you go. Yes, so once again, on Tuesday, July 12th, running through the evening, we'll have this 6th or 7th annual Real Estate Conference, which has been a sold-out, amazing event. Real estate professionals.
It's not sold out yet. Yes.
That's right. And you can visit attendjcon.com. That's attendjcon, J-C-O-N.com. And you'll see a list of the speakers, the schedule, and you can get some tickets. And it always sells out prior to the event. So definitely a good idea to hop on the website now.
Amazing. When we come back, more with my co-host, Shia Rubinstein, founder at JCon Conferences, along with Morris Patesh, Senior Managing Director at Meridian Capital Group, and Shimon Isaacovich, Chief Lending Officer and Executive Vice President at Cross River Bank. Stay tuned.
The future that you envision for yourself and your business is totally attainable. You need support along the way. And as entrepreneurs, having a team around you that supports you in achieving what that vision is vital. And that is something that the Covenant Group is committed to delivering.
Most of the times that people come to the Covenant Group, usually it's that they want to enjoy what they're doing, they want to have more quality time, or they want to have financial independence or financial security. My name is Keith Deming.
I'm Norm Traynor.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business.
We are, in essence, design engineers, and we're helping entrepreneurs design the business that's right for them and then execute.
The idea of having somebody coach you through the hard times in the business and think through what it is to have an inventory of client activity and what it is to build a base of revenue and to think like a business person, it's just not common in our industry.
My name is Mark Parton.
I'm Dean Harder.
I'm Alvin Brown.
I'm Jay Langford.
My name is Luc Godet.
I'm Andrew McKinnon, and I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
Building a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
Hi, Shia Rubenstein here from JCon Events. We will be hosting our 5th annual real estate conference on Tuesday, July 12th at the Diker Beach Golf Course. If you're in the industry of real estate, multifamily, development, construction, you're going to love this event. It's our 5th annual event, and we have a full lineup of keynote presenters, mentoring, and of course, networking and great food. And if you come early enough, you can enjoy the golf as well. Please visit AttendJCon to sign up. AttendJCon to sign up. And we look forward to seeing you once again on Tuesday, July 12th at the Diker Beach Golf Course.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yusuf Saflis right here on 710 WOR, the voice of New York. And the powerful iHeartRadio network for those of us, for those who are tuned in around the world. Tonight's show is all about the future of the real estate industry as it looks right here from mid-2022. And we have very distinguished guests, Morris Betesh, Senior Managing Director at Meridian Capital Group, and Shimon Isakovich, Chief Lending Officer and Executive Vice President at Cross River Bank, and joined by a good friend co-hosting with me here tonight, Shia Rubenstein, founder of JCon Conferences and the many other channels and initiatives that Shia spearheads. He's a tzaddik of a guy. Everyone here knows what a tzaddik is. He really is. Shia, thank you for joining me, and take it away.
Thank you so much again for letting me co-host such a illustrious show, and thank you to my guests once again for being part of this. I do have to mention that with regard to the JCon Conference, because I come from a nonprofit space. Mm-hmm. We always want to put on a great event. We also try to bring and mentor people who came into the industry within the last 5 to 7 years. So they're seasoned, they're professional, but they're hungry. They're looking to grow. So by meshing 200 of the newer comers with 500 or so of the seasoned professionals, it gives it a good mix because those people are hungry, but they're successful. And of course, seasoned professionals love meeting with seasoned professionals as well as hungry people. And what's also beautiful about this event is that some of the amazing people, including Shimon to my right, have offered to take time during the networking portion of the event and have a table to be a mentor. So you know where there's red tape and it's hard to get through to people? You can just walk over to people that happen to be extremely successful in their space, whether it be construction, mortgage, real estate, multifamily, lending, and instead of, you know, that red tape, just walk over to them and get your 5 minutes.
That's special. Do they have to secure that in advance or?
No, so it's
literally, you'll walk up, tap the guy in the shoulder.
Yeah, there are about 15 different tables for 15 special. Different specialties, and you walk up, and if the person's occupied, you either come back 5 minutes later or you put your name down on a paper and you come back 5 minutes later.
That's special.
But before we continue, I do have to say, you know, speaking to Shimon's point before, he mentioned about Cross River Bank, how they started and emerged from 2008 and made their way through, you know, one crisis after the next. And then, you know, it was 2008. It was comeback season. It was Corona. And we're still perhaps even, you know, trying to somewhat recover from the Corona aftermath. But I do have to tell you that starting from the beginning, wearing my nonprofit hat, because I also happen to be in the real estate and construction space, but wearing that nonprofit hat, I reached out to Cross River, and they've been consistently not only caring about the bottom dollar and not only caring, you know, about how it affects them, but they even, when Corona started, when COVID-19 started, they reached out to me and said, what does the community need? What can we do to help? And it's very interesting because they're perhaps, you know, telling all their 900 employees stay home. They're thinking, you know, how is lending gonna survive, and then they got involved in the PPP and they were killing it.
And one of the leaders in the entire country,
right?
If I'm not mistaken,
and they were killing it with the PPP, and so I was just amazed by their sense of caring for community, even when whatever they were doing was at stake. So I think that speaks volumes more than, you know, every bank can do a loan or maybe doesn't do a loan, or the interest rate will be a little bit higher or lower. And of course, it's about the people, because at the end of the day, you're going to roughly pay within the same frame of interest rate. You obviously want the best deal. But if you don't have that good person that can deal with your deal, and this really speaks to the true character, so I just wanted to put it out there.
Yeah.
And it happens to be that Meridian is no different, because I was speaking to Ralph before the Passover holiday season, and he was also extremely kind, helping so many people in need. We've spoken, and he's also come through, and Meridian has also been a power force in the industry and on so many levels. So if I could take the opportunity to personally acknowledge these two institutions, who not only are good at what they do, but they're good people too. So thank you for that. Continuing on to our guests, so if I can just ask you, so Morris, I guess shifting a little bit from general commercial real estate to construction, new developments, construction, are the banks lending? Are they concerned? Are they not sure in terms of, short-term forecasting? Do they think the rates will impact condo sales or rental market? Can you speak to the construction space, and then I'll turn it over to Shimon?
Sure. So with respect to multifamily rentals, if we take New York City for an example, there's a great opportunity in New York City to develop multifamily rentals. The key component to making development economically feasible in New York was the 421A tax abatement, which as of June 15th has lapsed. So beyond June 15th, at this point going forward, anyone acquiring land or planning to develop land is probably restricted from doing so without some sort of alternative incentive. So there really is going to be a lack of new housing developed, which will then put pressure on rents and continue to make these developments even more profitable than some might have believed. So I think there's a tremendous opportunity in multifamily housing. With respect to condos, we are hearing that there's a little bit of a slowdown in absorption of condos given the high interest rates. But at the end of the day, there's still tremendous demand, and a lot of inventory was taken offline in the last 12 months, given the strength of the housing market. So frankly, at this point for banks, now is probably the best time to be making construction loans. You're going to be delivering these assets 2 to 3 years from now into a market that'll be substantially stronger at that point in time, with a lot less supply on hand, because it is definitely more expensive to build. It's more expensive to borrow. So there are going to be fewer projects delivered in 24 to 36 months, which is going to put pressure on pricing for renters and buyers and make those developments a lot more profitable and attractive. And from a lender's perspective, generally speaking, construction loans are floating rate. So the indexes are pretty high today. Spreads are 350 to 400, give or take, for construction loans. And in that space, you're talking about 3.5% or 4% above the SOFR index, which is projected to go to 2.25 at least by the end of next month. So you're talking about a 6.25 rate for construction loans. It's probably one of the best times ever to be making construction loans as a bank. Unfortunately, and I won't speak for Cross River, but many banks are backward looking and will probably miss this opportunity to make the best possible loans they could have made in the last couple of years. So now is probably the best time for banks to make those loans. It's our job to go out there and convince lenders of it and speak about the merits of our given projects and borrowers. But we might have a few less audiences to work with, but it's all about finding thoughtful lenders out there to make this happen. And I'm curious what Shimon has to say.
So what are your thoughts? A little jab came your way, but let's hear what your thoughts are.
Hold your thoughts on that response first. Josh, Shia, and Yitzhak, thank you very much for inviting me to be here this evening. Shia, thank you for pointing to the charitable nature of Cross River, and I think that's important. I don't want to overlook that, because I believe, and I know the rest of the organization believes that that is a big part of our success. Our CEO Jill, has a motto that he uses often, and I think it's something that we all use within the company: doing well by doing good. And I think that what you pointed to. We strive and look for opportunities to give back and help many, many organizations at all levels. And I think that that is a big part of our success. So thank you for the opportunity to participate and to volunteer my time to, help with some of the attendees. And I look forward to trying to guide them or help them in any way I can. Morris, to your point, you were spot on in terms of, again, the opportunity here, whether it's construction or other types of loans. I know you know us. We do a fair amount of business with Meridian. You're a great partner. We always look for ways to work with you and your clients because at the end of the day, as you said early on, Meridian is a leader in the industry on the brokerage side. And for us, it's an opportunity to work with you and your clients and some of your staff. So I appreciate that. One of the things that we've said since, as I said before, since the day we were founded, really, is, the rate market is the rate market, and there are banks that are just the lowest rate so that they can do the most volume. We were never built on having the lowest rate. We were built on opportunistic lending and really relationship-driven. And obviously, many banks use that relationship quote as a driver of business. But I think we've demonstrated that over the years, that for us, of course, rate's important, but the relationship is more important. And I think that the environment that we're in and the opportunities that you discussed just now, whether it's construction or other bridge type of lending, or perhaps other interesting and opportunistic lending that exists today that maybe didn't exist as much or wasn't as prevalent, just a few months back, I think today it really goes back to that relationship which you pointed to, because at the end of the day, that relationship that we have with a good broker or with a good client, this is the environment and market for us to really demonstrate what that relationship really is worth. And for that, again, rate's important, but that's not as high on the list as I think you alluded to moments ago, as much as the bank's willingness to create a loan or structure a loan that makes sense for, again, that specific transaction. So I think the environment we're in is even more ripe for that to be the driving force behind behind many more transactions than may have been historically the case, especially with the low interest rate environment that we're just exiting.
Shia, before we go to a commercial break, what is the website where people can go to find out more information about the upcoming Real Estate JCon conference?
So once again, thank you, Yitzchak. And we will be hosting the JCon Real Estate Conference on Tuesday, July 12th at the Diker Beach Golf Course right under the Verrazano Bridge. Visit attendjcon.com. That's attendjcon.com. For more information, see the speaker lineup, all the different presentations, networking, great food, mentors, anything that you can ask for if you're in the real estate space. Once again, attendjcon.com.
And when we come back, more with Morris Batesh, Senior Managing Director at Meridian Capital Group, Shimon Isakovich, Chief Lending Officer and Executive VP at Cross River Bank, and of course joined by my co-host, Shia Rubinstein of JCon Conferences and so much else. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Ever wished as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com. where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. DaleCarnegie.com.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings, to finish a project. When do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting sign up to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
If you're installing hardwood or SPC or WPC vinyl flooring, do it with the highest quality products. PC Hardwood Floors, the hardwood flooring leader, has been supplying flooring professionals with the highest quality flooring materials for over 40 years. The knowledgeable team at PC Hardwood Floors will ensure that your materials will arrive at your job site by our own fleet trucks, hassle-free. With 7 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and next-day delivery, PC Hardwood Floors is the tri-state area's preferred full-service hardwood flooring distributor. Call 866-369-3232 to find out how PC Hardwood Floors can help you find the right hardwood products and finishing supplies for all your flooring projects. For a free consultation, call 866-369-3232. That's 866-369-3232. Or visit us at pchardwoodfloors.com. That's pchardwoodfloors.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Ian Sexapolis right here on 710 WOR and throughout the world on the powerful iHeartRadio network. My guest this evening, Morris Batesh, Senior Managing Director at Meridian Capital Group, Shimon Isakovich, Chief Lending Officer and Executive Vice President at Cross River Bank, and I'm joined, co-hosted with a good friend, Shia Rubinstein, founder of JCon Conferences. Let's go back to our incredible guest and find out the future of the real estate industry as it looks right now in mid-2022. Shia?
Thank you once again, Yitzhak, for having us on. And thank you, my guests, Shimon, Morris. Thank you once again for joining, for those who haven't joined until now. So I guess switching gears just a little bit, if we can stay within the real estate space, but switch that, you know, since the rent laws have changed in New York State and there's been a mass exodus or at least a mass diversion of investing in multifamily locally in New York City. I'm not saying people don't, but the people definitely started taking their money elsewhere. Can both of you or either one of you speak to acquisition out of state? I see on the multifamily side, but even more so on the commercial side. And again, both of you could speak to this. Tell us more about the trends of investing commercial or multifamily out of state and where you see this heading over the next 24 months. Morris, if I could start with you.
Sure. There's been a tremendous increase in New York-based investors investing in multifamily around the country. Some markets that were previously unknown to many local investors, they got educated on. Definitely in the Southeast, but even in the Midwest and in West Coast and mountain markets as well. So investors really have been chasing yield outside of New York. The encumbrances put on the real estate market in New York City really made it very difficult to generate value-added returns. So people looked elsewhere. And we're seeing, you know, buyers buy product in the Atlanta suburbs, in the Carolinas, in Denver markets, in Indiana, anywhere they can get their hands on stuff. Right now, given what's going on with real estate, with interest rates, it's a very challenging environment because the cap rates on those assets drop materially given all the increased demand and the historically low interest rates that we previously had. We've not yet seen those cap rates adjust. There are a lot of new players in the market. And I think this point, I think, ties to Shimon's comment before about relationships, as well as what we're seeing in construction financing markets. The next 12 to 24 months is going to be a bumpy ride for a lot of real estate investors. And the lenders and borrowers who are going to do well are going to be the ones that are the most well capitalized. So strong borrowers are going to be able to weather the storm, and they're going to be able to refinance their debt. They're going to be able to pay down their debt if they need to write a check of $1 million or $2 million to pay down a $30 million loan. So whatever the storm brings them, they'll be able to weather. There are a lot of new entrants to the market that were, you know, syndicators, where they might have in a $5 million deal, they might have 20 investors who wrote them checks of $250,000 each. And when they have to come around and make a capital call to pay down a loan or to fund an interest reserve that got depleted or fund cost overruns, that's a lot more difficult. So I think you're going to see a divergence between well-capitalized buyers and investors and some of the newer entrants to the market who are less well-capitalized. And I think that's going to be the story over the next 12 months.
And how do you see also the New York real estate market? Because at the end of the day, multifamily is huge in New York City. So with the people that are in there and they're getting their tightened noose, how do you see them surviving between the upcoming 24 months and, you know, people not paying rent for Corona and all that good stuff?
Well, the rent collections issues have mostly subsided. And I don't believe that that is a ongoing issue at scale. But I think there's a dichotomy in the New York City rental market. The free market rentals, to my point earlier, are seeing higher rents than they've ever seen before. And that's because of a lack of supply. And counterintuitively, the rent laws have made housing more unaffordable in New York than previously. What they ultimately did was they prevented vacant units from becoming destabilized. There was never really a risk to tenants who were in occupancy. But for a landlord, once that tenant was out of occupancy, they had the ability to renovate the unit and charge a market rent after investing in it. Now that's no longer the case. So if you have an apartment that has been inhabited by a rent-stabilized tenant for 40 or 50 years, and that tenant decides to move on, whether they pass away, they move out to the suburbs with their family, they have a change in their lifestyle, whatever the case may be, that unit now has a restricted rent. Nobody knows who to rent it to and how to rent it because it's unrenovated. And it doesn't make sense to renovate that unit. So a lot of that supply is being warehoused, and none of that supply is coming on the market for new tenants. So in a given year, there were thousands of units that turned over every year from rent stabilized to market rent, which were new supply to the fair market housing supply. Many people think about free market housing supply as only new construction, but that was not the case. You can take the neighborhood of Bed-Stuy, the neighborhood of Crown Heights, the neighborhood of Williamsburg, and there are thousands and thousands of units that were delivered to market through destabilization. Because that's not happening anymore, and it hasn't happened for the last 3 years, there's a tremendous, tremendous squeeze on supply. And that's why you're seeing lines around the block on Sunday for open houses, for apartments for rent. So I think New York City probably has one of the best opportunities for free market rentals. And on the rent stabilized side, I unfortunately believe that is just going to be a long, drawn out process. And until things get really bad for both landlords and tenants, the government probably won't act.
Shimon, your thoughts?
A couple of things. So going, you know, first question, then second question. So, you know, to date, or, you know, for the last, let's just say for the last 11 years or so, we focused on pretty much the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut market. We've selectively expanded that footprint with, again, relationship borrowers and really strong relationships to some out-of-state markets, similar to what Morris described. You know, but Southern Florida, Maryland, you know, Midwest specifically for some large clients and good relationships. But in general, our focus for the traditional CRE business is in the New York tri-state market. Where we've expanded to some of the to pretty much all the states is by partnering with some lenders, you know, in those specific markets. So we provide either warehouse facilities for lenders that are active in that specific space, so they really understand the market. And, of course, they have some equity in those deals alongside us. So, you know, that gives us a comfort level. So that's this has been a pretty good market for us in those spaces. And similar to some other banks or other lenders, you know, we've used this as an opportunity to partner with them and leverage their expertise in some of those markets where we may not have boots on the ground and have the real-time expertise required to, you know, to extend good credit. So, again, this has been a market of opportunity for us to leverage those relationships that we've built over the years and get into different markets where ordinarily we would not have the comfort or the staffing to be able to properly make the right credit decisions. But I still believe that New York at the end of the day is New York. And, you know, clearly we're going through some challenges, transition, and whether it's the rent laws, whether it's the abatements, you know, or a host of other factors that are changing the landscape. At the end of the day, it's New York. The real estate is the real estate. And, you know, as Mara said, the right sponsorship, the right equity in the deal should prove to be a sound credit at the end of the day, even if there are some bumps and, you know, bumps along the way.
New York, New York.
She is a singer also, but
I just want to add one thing.
Sure.
Every couple of weeks, I have a dinner with some young analysts from Meridian, just to learn from them, hear about their thoughts, et cetera. So I had dinner with four analysts, all of whom are, you know, 1 to 2 years out of school. One went to school in Indiana University, grew up in Boca Raton, Florida. One grew up in Chicago. One and two of them grew up in Boston suburbs. And I asked them, you know, did you guys think about moving anywhere else? You guys all grew up outside of New York City, and Boston's a big employment market. Chicago's a big employment market. Everybody says everyone's moving to Florida. And all of these guys came to New York City. And basically what they explained to me is they had no question in their mind where they were going. They went to school. They wanted to get into the real estate and finance industry. New York was the place to be. And all of their friends made the same choice. So New York City is still a city that attracts young employment talent. And that's what drives the real estate market, both on the office side and on the multifamily side. And I think it's going to continue to be a sustained quality market.
All right. So before we go to a commercial break, Morris, how could people find out more about Meridian Capital Group?
www.meridiancapital.com.
Amazing. Thank you so much for joining us. I know you got to run. I'm going to stay on with Shia and Shimon. Again, Morris Patesh, Senior Managing Director at Meridian Capital Group. Thank you so much for joining us here on Mind Your Business.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Morris. Nice seeing you.
Thank you.
Excellent. And we'll be back right after this short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Hi, Shia Rubenstein here from JCon Events. We will be hosting our 5th annual real estate conference on Tuesday, July 12th at the Diker Beach Golf Course. If you're in the industry of real estate, multifamily, development, construction, you're going to love this event. It's our 5th annual event, and we have a full lineup of keynote presenters, mentoring, and of course, networking and great food. And if you come early enough, you can enjoy the golf as well. Please visit AttendJCon to sign up. AttendJCon to sign up. And we look forward to seeing you once again on Tuesday, July 12th at the Diker Beach Golf Course.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings to finish a project. When do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting SIGN UP to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. These free 1 minute or shorter business class video clips cover building trust, finance, leadership, marketing, branding, goal setting, among many other primary business topics. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram, or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting sign up to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Again, text sign up on WhatsApp to 718-594-6519 or follow at Business Class Clips on Instagram to receive your free business class every day from celebrity business leaders. Business Class on Instagram or WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number, you're a partner. Brands Paycheck's personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today, or visit online at BrandsPaycheck.com. That's BrandsPaycheck.com.
And we're back, Mind Your Business, here on 710 WOR, the voice of New York. And tonight's show is all about the future of the real estate industry as it appears now here in mid-2022. And our guest this evening, I'm co-hosted by Shia Rubenstein, founder of the JCon Conferences. There's a big real estate conference coming up in a couple of weeks. And Maurice Batesh, senior managing director at Meridian Capital Group, shared some incredible insights. And we're here in studio with Shimon Isaacovich, Chief Lending Officer and Executive Vice President at Cross River Bank. Thank you so much for joining me here on Mind Your Business. Before we get to any last questions with Shimon, Shia, tell us about the upcoming conference.
Thank you once again. Wow, time flies when you're having fun.
It sure does.
Yeah, so it's great to be back, and thank you.
And when Shia's singing.
There you go. Thank you. I guess next time we'll push real estate to the side and we'll focus on song. But yeah, so it's very exciting. For the past several years, we've been hosting a JCon Real Estate Conference. This year, it's going to take place on Tuesday, July 12th at the Diker Beach Golf Course right under the Verrazano Bridge. For more information and to get your tickets, because every year did sell out in advance, visit attendjcon.com. Now, the beautiful setup about this event, it gives you the opportunity to work during the day if you're in the real estate space. And again, this is only for the people within the real estate industry. Mm-hmm. If you want to leave work a little bit early, you could come and golf. So you got that head start. You know, golf starts at about 2 o'clock. But the event itself starts close to 5 p.m. And, you know, it's a combination of several presentations covering the real estate space, whether it be acquisitions, multifamily, regulations. We even have Eric Ulrich, the commissioner of the building department, coming to address, you know, issues, because, you know, a lot of us focus on acquisition or construction or returns. Mm-hmm. But what's with, you know, violations? What's with updated regulations? So it's very important to be able to know and forecast and address those issues, because those really play into construction timelines, to financing, to costs. You know, if you don't take that into account, you can definitely you know, have bumps in the road just for that itself. So, you know, we're going to be covering the obvious, you know, interest rates, where things are heading, multifamily acquisition, due diligence, and hear from a lot of professionals. We have about 20 different professionals in the space. And then, of course, after the presentations and after the keynote comes the fun time. You have networking, great food, bar, sushi, on that beautiful outside 15,000 square foot deck. So that's beautiful. And yes, we do have a backup plan in case it rains. So we have tents in case it rains. But what I think is also unique about this event is it doesn't only cater to hundreds of seasoned professionals, but it also caters to people who entered into the industry within the last, you know, 5 or 6 years. So they know the real estate space, they're successful, they're hungry, And not only do they come to hear that information, but they're also mingling with, you know, 400 or 500 seasoned professionals. So it's that perfect mix. But to give them that leg up or that added value, we also have several mentors, about 10 mentors within specific industries within real estate. So if it's mortgages, acquisitions, multifamily, construction, development, you can just walk over to one of these tables and speak to that individual for 5 minutes, ask them your questions, try to make that connection. And, you know, it's no red tape. So if you walk over to the table, if they're talking to someone, you put your name down, you come back 5 minutes later. But it's great that it gives you that access. And I think that was actually one of the best parts of last year's conference. Of course, we all like and expect, you know, the good food and the golf and the presentations and to hear from professionals. But I think that was just another great added value. And so again, if you're in the real estate space and you'd like to join, it's going to take place once again on Tuesday, July 12th at the Diker Beach Golf Course under the Verrazano Bridge. And you can visit attendjcon.com for more information.
And any final questions and thoughts that we turn to Shimon Isaacovich?
Yes, Shimon is a personal friend and is part of a fantastic institution, Cross River, which we discussed earlier today in terms of, you know, their exponential growth, their gorgeous building in New Jersey, their 900 employees. Shimon and his team has been extremely aggressive on many fronts of the lending side. So I've been so happy to see them blossom. So it's, as a friend and someone in the industry, I wear the other hat of being in the real estate space as well. So I can appreciate that. And I think all tonight's information was so invaluable. So I think if I can just, ask my, you know, we pretty much covered most of the space in terms of multifamily and construction and forecasting rents out of state. But I think we didn't speak much about healthcare. I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on healthcare lending, whether it be assisted living, nursing home. Does Cross River offer any of those services? And do you have any thoughts on that? Because it's somewhat stable because people get sick. People need these facilities. But at the end of the day, there's always that real estate component. And how does that play out? And does Cross River deal with it at all?
Sure. So actually, healthcare, specifically nursing homes, skilled nursing facilities, assisted living. This is a space that we are active in. We have a team of 4 dedicated employees led by an industry veteran who's in the space for 25-plus years, Doug Esposito. So Doug runs the day-to-day in that space for us. It's been a very, very good line of business for us. And like you said, it's certainly a good environment for it. However, like anything else, you need to be careful. And it goes back to what I said earlier. It's all about the relationship. It's all about knowing who you're lending to, who you're doing business with, what their experience is, what their expertise is. This isn't the time or the environment to be a cowboy and lend at, you know, just aggressive terms to borrowers, you know, to Morris's point, that are just syndicators, if you would. So this is the time to really go back to our roots, and I think to all lenders' roots. You know, it's the relationship. It's you know, how well you know that client, and how and their successes and even failures, and how they dealt with those failures. You know, failures are not necessarily a bad thing. It's how, you know, and for us, that's what we look at. You know, we look going back again, as I said earlier, 2008. How did these borrowers deal with the banks when there were issues, you know? And many people had issues, and it's just a matter of how they dealt with those issues. And as I said, there are many banks that themselves didn't deal with the issues properly by shutting their doors on their clients and not willing to talk to their clients or figure out a solution with their clients. For us, back in 08, height of COVID, no different. It's borrowers, you know, there's, you know, unforeseen or unexpected challenges that arise. And a good bank with a good relationship figures out how to cure an issue and work with that client, as opposed to, again, shutting the door on that client. My experience, when a bank takes that approach, whether it's a construction project that's going sideways temporarily because of overruns or inflation or other challenges, or whether it's just vacancies or tenants that are not paying in a specific property. It's all about working with the client. And again, if the client has demonstrated their ability to come back to the table, discuss the issues that they're having, to us, those are the relationships we look for. Because not everything is perfect, and not everything, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years after making a loan is the same as it was when you made that loan. So it's all about, you know, it's easy to make that loan, as I said, at the cheapest rate and at the most dollars. There are many brokers and many banks that do that. And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. It's the environment that we're in today that really will be, you know, a test of those relationships and how the banks have hopefully learned, you know, from the crisis of 08.
I think that's so, so important because it's true. You know, like my mother would say, the only thing you do have is your reputation.
That's right.
Because, you know, whenever you're at any juncture, you know, you deal with a client, you do construction, you do that real estate, you deal with a bank, you could think short term, okay, they don't have enough leverage and times are bad. We have a crisis. We have a COVID. I'm out, or I'll tell them this. But the truth is, if you really invest in making that relationship work, people remember 10, 20 years later.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Shimon, before I let you go, how can people find out more about Cross River?
Go to our website. CrossRiverBank.com.
Easy enough. Shia, before I let you go, we're out of time. What's the website to find out more information about the amazing upcoming conference?
The amazing upcoming JCon Real Estate Conference will take place on Tuesday, July 12th at the Diker Beach Golf Course under the Verrazano Bridge, and visit attendjcon.com.
What an incredible show. Morris Batesh, Senior Managing Director at Meridian Capital Group. Shimon Isakovich, Chief Lending Officer and Executive Vice President at Cross River Bank. And of course, I was joined by Shia Rubinstein, founder of JCon Conferences and so much else. We're out of time. Tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 710 WOR. Have a successful week.
710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network present Mind Your Business, hosted by the president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Founded in 1992, Bottom Line Marketing Group is a strategic, creative, and execution-driven marketing agency, helping businesses by clarifying and promoting their vision, mission, and purpose to support its lead generation and customer retention initiatives to gain market share in their industry. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. for this intriguing radio show as Yitzhak interviews Fortune 500 executives, business leaders, and marketing gurus from a wide variety of business industries. Now, Yitzhak and his guests offer their knowledge and expertise to help you be successful. Every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.